Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. You are on Purpose Talk Radio. And I got to tell you, folks, here we go again. Another wonderful technology day. And unfortunately, no one at customer service was available to help and figure this out. So, we were looking for another place to looking for ways to get through some of this stuff, and unfortunately it was not happening the way ideally I would have liked it to have happened. So today we are doing part two of Meet the Blind Month, and our guest will be in a little bit Carrie Kajewski. And I'm going to also admit that I didn't even get much of a chance to talk to Carrie. So we're just going to let spirit fly on this interview. And I'll bring her on in a little bit after we go through some of our housekeeping type things. And the first is that, we do air every Friday afternoon, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. And what is that? 8 p.m. over the UK. I think that's still there for a couple of weeks. Now I just go to daylight time. And you're going to stay daylight time for about another month, which gets really interesting for the shows. So we are continuing to air at that time as long as we can. I'm sorry, I'm trying to call in with another line because I understand that right now it's a little garbled on this end. So I'm trying to call in on this other phone, and we'll switch that over in a moment. What we do here is that we talk to people who are living their purpose. And have them share with the world how they came to know their purpose, how they came to achieve it, and what they are doing. That they might be able to suggest to other people to have them live their purpose as well. Today we do have Carrie on. And we talked to her last week. We did a little bit of trivia about blind folks and White Cane Awareness Day. And they call it Travel Day as well, and all those kinds of fun things. And as we do that, I'm gonna bring Carrie on, and we're gonna chat a little bit, and then I will give you all a more formal introduction to this, and why I have Carrie even on the show this week. Also, if you wish to contact us directly, there's a couple ways that you can do it. The first would be to call into the show, 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Another would be if you are on Blog Talk Radio, you can go scroll all the way down to the chat room that is on Blog Talk Radio, and that should be open momentarily. You can Skype in if you do have Skype. And you also are on the radio show page. You can click on the Skype button there. If you want to talk, please press 1 on either your phone or Skype keypads. And last but not least, one that does remain up for quite some time after the discussion would be to go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. And that conversation stays up. I usually pin a post to the top of the page each week so that you can have conversations there, even if you do listen to the show after the fact and you're listening to the archive. And if you wish to listen to the show again, the archive is the same link as the original show is. So, hello, Carrie. Can you hear me at this point?
I can hear you better now. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. We switched again. It's amazing. Supposedly, the computer is supposed to be so much clearer, and it, I guess, today is having its own little moment, whether it be the airwaves or what. So, thank you for being here today.
That's so, okay. I'm used to internet problems and technology not working.
So, yeah, you were a little cautious about that, and here it's me that has it. So, you know, we just roll with the punches around here. And whatever happens, you know, that's the joy of kind of doing, I don't want to say amateur radio, but fun radio. You know, we don't have specific rules that has to be this way or it has to be that way. It gets to be whatever happens and however we can get the information out to the public. So I appreciate you being on here. So you are in Canada, huh?
Yeah, not a very nice day here in Ontario, Canada, but fall's been very beautiful so far. Today's kind of peaky.
So it's you now. I don't know. I'm here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and our leaves are we're changing. The colors are here. Stuff starting to fall off, and you know. Be nice and crispy to walk in. Have you changed everything? Are you starting into almost winter type by you or not?
This past weekend was beautiful. It was Thanksgiving here and my whole family were here. We went to like a farm that had a pumpkin patch and a corn maze and stuff, and it was beautiful that day. And then driving in the car with my mother the other day, she commented on how the fall colors were at their peak, kind of yellow, golds, and reds, and all these things. It's just today, I guess, you know, it's gotten colder, and today's sort of rainy and yucky, but the last few days I've been walking, and then you can hear the leaves crunching under your feet. So still October. I still have hope for a few more fall days before we get into winter, but I don't know. There is talk of some sort of flurries going on around the lakes here and things, so I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. And the other one we hear about, of course, is the Canadian geese that all go up by you. For the winter or the summer or whatever they do, kind of fly through here up there. And it's, you know, I don't know if that's a fallacy that, that they're just called Canadian geese or I don't know. Just give us a little trivia if you even know it.
I don't know a lot about geese. You'd have to probably ask my mom or somebody for more of that. But no, I do know that I don't know how they got that name entirely, but yeah, they would be flying south. Around here more, you start hearing more crows, which I prefer the geese.
Okay. Well, folks, what I would like to do here is introduce you and give you a little more detail about Carrie and who she is. And she's got a very nice bio that she sent me. We're going to weave a little bit into the conversation and let you know how and why we are doing this. As I had said, this is Meet the Blind Month. It is also Disability Awareness Month. So there's a couple reasons, and anyone that's been around this show for much time at all knows my heart for allowing communication on all levels for anyone who is, quote-unquote, disabled or non-disabled, and especially when it comes to blind, deaf, deaf-blind, folks that don't have the voice that maybe others have for whatever reason, and especially that the general public is made more aware of folks with a variety of disabilities and abilities so that no one fears anyone else just because they might be differently abled. And we all, to some extent, do have something that holds us back from what we do. Some people, it's just a fear of something. Some it's an anxiety. Some it's people just don't understand them. It could be just that simple. And then others have some things that are more visible that are out there. You know, my mom suffers from fibromyalgia, and, you know, that's pretty debilitating for her. And it's something that I don't understand, but I just see how it affects her. And, you know, other people don't see it with her because they're not around her all the time, and she tries not to let it show. So, you know, we've got those opportunities to learn about different people and how and why they function the way they do. I like to share that on this show. So, first of all, Carrie Kajewski was born, grew up, and lives in Ontario, Canada, as we've mentioned. And she and her siblings were raised by two amazing, supportive, and loving parents. She was born visually impaired and the third of four children, the second girl, and her younger brother. Her younger brother was also born blind. When she was 12, she became very ill and was finally diagnosed with kidney disease, as was her brother. The blindness and the kidney failure are both a part of a rare syndrome called senior, is it senior Locken or senior Loken?
Loken.
Loken, okay. And it's not one of those that I'm familiar with, which is fun. So I wanted to do a little bit of research too before I got on the show, because it's kind of interesting for myself too to learn about these different syndromes and things. But for the next few years, Carrie did receive a kidney from her father. 2 years later, her brother received one from her mother. And she says that it's been about 20 years now, been fine from her father. And unfortunately, her brother has had to go on the transplant list and receive a second kidney as well. But since that time, Carrie has dealt with scoliosis and spinal surgery, daily headaches, chronic pain. She didn't end up having the life that she thought she would, and we'll go into that a little bit. Part of it was to go to university. She had to leave the pressures of school for many years to focus on her health. Since losing more of her vision, she left behind her dreams to become an artist, along with the memories of the brightness of the colors, and has focused her attention on words instead. And I'm going to go into this a little bit more and go into some of the more details of that. But basically, that means that now, instead of being what they would call a visual artist, she's a word artist through her blogs, through authorship of her book, through travel, and is portraying that to the world. So, hello, now officially, Carrie. So without going into all the details of this other stuff, so you knew you always wanted to be an artist. What was there a turning point in your life, first of all, that put that out that you wanted to be an artist of some kind? And then perhaps a point that said, okay, so I can't do this. I can still be an artist just a little differently, and made that change. You know, what were those turning points for you?
My whole family, like my siblings, they're all very artistic, musically and visually, photography and things. I guess as a young child, I used to say I wanted to be a librarian, so I guess there was a love of books or words there somewhere. I do remember like going to library as a child. I loved that, so I guess that was where that is. But then I did want to be an artist. I loved coloring when I was little, and then as I grew older, I started trying to draw a little more sophisticated things. And I guess I assumed that I would keep up with that, and then however I would do that, being, because I had more sight at that point, but I was still considered visually impaired. I wore glasses. So as long as I had those glasses on, I could see well enough with bright enough colors, pens or crayons or markers that I could, or paint that I could, I guess I saw myself getting more into art. But then, like you read there in the description, as soon as I became ill around the age of 12, my eyesight declined rapidly at that point, and I pretty much, after that, I went colorblind. So at that point, I guess, you know, I read a lot of authors whose their biography, and it says how they wanted to be be a writer from the age of five or something. And I, so I don't think I had that. But like you said, I think I just transferred it over, and I had to let go of my love for colors in a way, and I sort of picked up on the art of words, I guess. And I see them as being very artistic and beautiful in the way you can create feelings and emotions with words, as I guess artists would with their painting.
Okay. And, you know, and this is a discussion I have with some people when I do my deaf-blind interpreting. You know, is there, for you, is there some of that residual memory about colors? Or how do you, you know, if someone says, man, there's a blue sky out there, how does that impact you as an artist? Because, you know, that's one of those things people draw a lot of, you know, landscapes, skies, things like that. Is there anything that that residual for you? Or how do you want people to handle something when they describe a color, for instance?
I used to love drawing landscape drawings when I could see colors. And I do love nature in that way. I love seaside, and I love sunsets and sunrises and things. It's really quite complicated to describe in my head. I consider myself lucky that I ever could see color at one point. My brother has never been able to see color. His has always been just light and dark and shadows and things. So I have to consider myself lucky, but at times I do, when somebody's describing a sunset or talking about a picture of a sunrise, I can get sad, and I have to try not to let that overtake me because I do still love color so much. And so I guess now I just need to hold on to as much of that memory as I can and try and describe these things through words, from what I remember, or have other people do their best to describe them using words, so that I never hopefully forget that entirely. But sometimes I do feel like it slips away, and I try to grasp hold of the memories.
Okay, and we're going to get into a little bit, especially because you do travel, and that's you know, a good part of your writing, and that's a good part of what people, you know, think about again when they think about travel. It's, oh, that we can see the sights, we can go to these places of, you know, monuments and historical places and all that. Do you, maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but you know, when you do that, do you have someone who is a descriptive guide, or you have somebody with you that helps describe those places, events, and things like that for you?
Well,
or you take it in through the other senses?
Both. I've always loved travel, and I think, like you said in that description, my parents have always been great, wanting to introduce us to as much of the world as they could. So that started from a young age. So the last few years when I've traveled, I've traveled still with family, with friends, with a partner most of the time. So I hopefully have people that are doing their best to describe something. I like going on tours that have a guide who speaks, to hear a lot of history so that, you know, that's their job to describe a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, it's not just seeing a sight. Everybody does this if they think about it. You know, you smell an authentic ethnic food wherever you might be, or you can smell or feel the air if you're at the ocean, or if you're up high on a, you know, a tower or wherever you might be. I sense the history of a place, and I try to think about who came there before and what it used to be. You know, I'm just visiting it for a small, short time, that it's been there for how long, and all the people that have been there. So there's a lot of sensory that goes into it, that if you really stop and think about it, and you, I guess, put down your camera, you could probably, you know, experience all that a lot more. And that's just what I have to focus on.
Okay. So as part of this journey of having some sight and then losing it. Are you willing to talk a little bit about this, the disease that essentially took away the sight for you? Because apparently it impacts a whole lot other than just the sight, with the headaches and the spine issues and the kidneys and all that. For anybody that might not be familiar with it, in some general form, please.
Yes, well, I guess, I mean, being born visually impaired is enough of a challenge that most people would find daunting. And then, you know, up till 12 years old, my mom always said I never even had a prescription for an antibiotic. You know, like, it was just the blindness, and I didn't even really go to my eye doctor that often, I don't think, because, I mean, once I had my glasses, everything was so stable. And our blindness is one thing. It's called Leber's congenital amaurosis, and it's a more common condition. Lots of people have that kind of blindness. It's when the other medical problems come into the picture that it becomes kind of a syndrome, and that's what's more rare. And so once that happened, I guess I never thought about what would I do if I lost more sight. And then when it happened, it all happened quite suddenly. They think it was tied originally to the type of dialysis I was put on after I was diagnosed with kidney disease. It was peritoneal dialysis that was done every night at home while I was sleeping, and it's an abdominal dialysis. I don't know if that's the one most people think of when they think of dialysis, if they really know what that is. But it suddenly just happened that I started getting faded vision. My sight would sort of fade in and out. Now, I always had sight better in my right eye. My left eye was always weaker, and so I think I always saw out of my right eye mostly, and it's always been tunnel vision, so it's just a very narrow field. But then these blackout kind of things happened with my eyes, and then within a few months it had transferred to terrible pain behind my eyes, and they never really found out what the problem was. They figured it could be tied to dialysis, so we switched to the one where I 3 times a week go to the hospital and get that one done. And I was put on some high doses of steroids, which whatever the virus or whatever was, it seemed to stop it. But by that point, my left eye was totally destroyed. So, and the pain had been so bad that I had to get it removed. So I was left with the one eye, and luckily they stopped it before it took the sight in that one too, or the entire eye, I guess. But it was never the same after that, and I think it's a strange thing, but it's such a slow decline since then, but I think it's slowly gotten worse. Now, I don't know if that means it's going to continue to or not, but yeah, so it happened so suddenly at first, but now it's been so gradual ever since that I've just had to adjust. At first, it would have been a sudden adjustment, and then after that, it was just
and
a slow one over time.
Yeah, and there are people that go through different phases of losing their eyesight for a variety of reasons. You know, the most common, of course, being either, you know, you have the issues from birth, or that as you get older, you know, people start losing their sight. So you said you did some adaptations with your life. Were there some specific things that you could suggest to people that might be in that kind of situation? Or something that maybe someone who has a loved one who is going through a visual loss that they can do to help them out? Or on the other hand, one of the things I know and that we talked about last week was, you know, don't grab them by the elbow and drag them across the room, because that just messes with the stability and things like that. But that's a common thing what people do. It's like, oh, I'll help you, and they just grab. So are there some things that you could suggest to people on either side of that?
I think the best thing I can say is just talk to the person if you can, you know, talk to them and ask them questions. You know, yeah, most people might do it in a moment if you are on a street corner, perhaps, and you are worried that they could be hit by a car or something, you know, that's a legitimate concern, but yeah, grabbing people is disorienting and it's sometimes frightening. So yeah, if talking is the best thing I can say, I mean, that's how we communicate, you know, just being blind, deaf blind is a whole other thing, I guess. But,
right.
But yeah, just talk to the person,
okay.
Ask them what they need or what they want. And yes, there is a proper way to guide someone. And most people I know will grab my arm or take the back of my arm, sort of, and that just makes it difficult for the person. Then they do feel like they're being pushed along. So the best thing is for them to take your arm or right by your elbow, usually.
Okay. And you have you've gone through the life part of having a guide dog for a period of time. And what I didn't say is now, you had the dog for many years, and now you have your wonderful literary critters with you instead. So what do you use the cane? Do you have another dog at this point? What do you use to get around?
Yeah, the dog I have is, he wouldn't make a very good guide dog at all. Yeah, his name is Dobby, and he's a little Jack Russell poodle mix.
Okay.
I got him a year after my guide dog passed away in 2008. I was just lonely, and I wasn't prepared at that time to get another guide dog, so I just I got him, and then yeah, I got a cat recently. But no, I get that question a lot. After you've had a guide dog, are you going to get another one? Are you thinking about getting another one? And all I can say is the first time I got one, I was in a very different place in my life. I was finishing up elementary school. I was in the eighth grade, and I was actually at a mobility lesson one day with my instructor, and she and I were sitting on a bench, and she just all of a sudden out of the blue said, "You know, you're starting high school next year. Have you ever thought about getting a guide dog? I could help you do that." And I don't know how often the idea occurred to me before that. I just didn't finish going through all that medical stuff with dialysis and transplant and stuff. And I was just getting back into being in school again. And I guess the idea of high school did frighten me. And that seemed like something that might, you know, make the transition a little easier. So that was the reason. Going from a smaller school out in the country to a high school in town, with bigger hallways and bigger kids, it just seemed like a good idea. So that was why I did that. So soon after that was when a lot of my chronic pain started. So I didn't go through high school and finish high school and go off to university with the guide dog like I always sort of imagined I would. I sort of just withdrew, and you know, as terrible as that was, my guide dog kind of got pulled in that with me because, her master wasn't going out and using her like she should have. And I felt a lot of guilt about that, but she was very loyal and she often just laid by my bed and kept me company. But she was a very energetic, very smart, very outgoing dog. And, there was a lot of time, years that could have been good years that were sort of sucked down the drain. So after that, I guess I just sort of got shy of the idea because I wasn't sure I could rely on my health. And I thought, why bring an animal who's trained so well and they work so hard to train them, and then I couldn't be sure that I could use them to their full potential. So I haven't got one since. And she did. She died just, I think, before she would have turned 11. She had cancer, and it was quite sudden. I had started going to college a few days a week at that point, and I took her a few times before. She just physically couldn't go with me anymore. So since then, I have been using a cane, which I've used all along. I don't remember the first time I used a cane, but I would have been, very small.
And just for the fun of it, you did mention the dog's name. The related cat's name is?
For any Harry Potter fans, my dog's name is Dobby, which is an elf in the books, and my cat, I figured there's all these names I could choose, but I'll stick with the sort of theme. So I named him Lumos, which is a spell in Harry Potter. It's how they light their wands. And he just was sort of, I had gone through a bad breakup just recently, and I got this cat, and he was sort of a light in my life at the time. So I just thought that it was a nice name. But my guide dog's name was Crush. It was French because I got her in Quebec. So it was C-R-O-C-H-E. I don't think I put that in the bio. So it means eighth note, a musical note.
Okay.
So I always liked her name because I always thought it was very unique. And
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Names play a big important, you know, as a writer, titles for things, names for things, it always has significance to me.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought when I saw that. I'm like, okay, yeah, if, you know, as writers, we create our characters and our names, and a lot of times, exactly, as you go through, I know for myself, as we go through the writing, the characters take on their own characteristics, personalities, all that, and sometimes we have to go back and do search and replace and change them because the names just don't fit, and sometimes we don't care, you know, sometimes it's a name and it just that's all it is. Sometimes we need to change it to something that's more meaningful. So I was just, as soon as I saw those names, I'm like, I know where those are from. So that's cool. You know, and like you, I enjoyed the imagery and the, you know, the things that were part of the Harry Potter series. And I know some people say,
know those books, so they might have no idea what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. You know, and some people are like, oh, that's not spiritual, and that's a whole other topic. We're not even going there today. So, you know, before people get on the bandwagon on that, it really doesn't matter. It's not part of, you know, purpose. It's for the fun, and, you know, that's what we do with our lives is we create things that we want to have sometimes just for the fun of it. So, but I thought those names were fun. So, okay, so I'm going to, like, jump. So you went through life, you know, graduated from high school. You did or did not graduate from high school?
No, I'm currently working on that now.
Okay.
Just a correspondence thing now.
Okay. So you did what you needed to do at that time, basically just, from what I'm kind of surmising, kind of just lived life, trying to adapt, trying to figure out what to do in this, for lack of a better word, new vision or lack thereof it. You know, were there any specific things that you did? You know, was there any kind of career path, or was it just kind of a, man, I can't do what I want to do, so I don't know what I'm going to do? What did you go through at that point?
Well, I had just been starting to deal with, you know, adapting to losing some vision, and then all this pain started. It's very hard to think, to focus, to concentrate when you have a headache that persists. You can't focus anymore. And I did a full class load in the ninth grade. I got 97% in English, 92% in music. You know, like I did fairly well that first year of high school, even with a back surgery that I'd had that Christmas. I recovered fairly quickly, but had issues after that. So then after that, in the next couple of years of high school, I was doing less and less each year, basically. So then each year I fell farther and farther behind. So then by the time I got to the end of high school, I had only gotten half the credits I would have needed to graduate. So it all just sort of overwhelmed me, and I felt like I'd fallen way behind, and I didn't think I could catch up. And so yes, the best thing I did at one point finally was to say I'm done now for a while. Now that can become a bit of a trap. My whole 20s basically felt like a lost time for me. I did do some things here and there to try and keep up some sort of semblance of you know, a path, or to try and figure out what my interests were. I did some volunteer work. It was the best I could do at the time. I did some volunteer work for certain organizations that were important to me. I did some volunteer work for the Kidney Foundation of Canada. I did some for the Ronald McDonald House charity, and because we had used Ronald McDonald Houses, my family and I, during our transplants and things. So I volunteered there. I tried working at a crisis call-in line for a year. I did that, I think, because I had some interest in counseling. I had some interest in that area, and at that point, I hadn't really, I guess I hadn't opened up to my love of writing at that point. I was still afraid, and I was still sort of holding back, I think. So I did things like that, but basically, yeah, I just tried to, I had a lot of doctor's appointments, and I tried a lot of treatments to try and get this, you know, these things under control, and so that it took a while.
30 years old to really figure out what you wanted to do and to start, I want to say, balancing some things and looking for that passion and that purpose that brings you kind of to where you are now, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Sometimes I feel like I am, I have some wisdom and I've gained things through life experience that maybe I wouldn't have had or that others haven't through what I've been through. And other times I feel, you know, like I'm behind 10 years that I'm kind of just starting out. Like I'm just basically finishing high school now, whereas, you know, I'm 30, I should be further along. And sometimes it's hard because I feel like, peers my age and people my age are a lot further in careers and life than I am. My 20s also was a lot of me hiding away from social situations, so it took me a while to get back into that. That included dating and reconnecting with friends and things. That also included travel. But yeah, it took me through my whole 20s to sort of just, I mean, I think I had a handle on my pain better than I used to, and I found things that work for me and things that don't. And I think at some point I just had to tell myself that I have to get on with life. I can't let that hold me back entirely, but I'm hoping that my 30s are, I guess these days you hear a lot about the 20s, and it's, being a writer, I see a lot of 20-somethings writing and a lot of websites and blogs about being in your 20s, and I guess I feel like I'm still back there a little, but I'm hoping that my 30s will be when I truly find my way a bit better.
Yeah, it took me into my 30s and 40s for me to figure out my second career, so. You
know, yes, exactly. It happens to a lot of people.
It happens to be what it is, that's right. So, okay, so you turn 30. And that's the point where you start this blog that's starting to talk about what you did and where you are and, you know, what? How did you finally say, all right, enough's enough, put down the paints, the colors, whatever. Hey, look, there's a way to do this with the words. I mean, it probably wasn't an overnight thing. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, was it just, my God, I'm 30, okay, what did I do with 20 and now I need to kind of relive it? Or was it just a, hey, it's time to figure out something? What happened for you?
Yeah, I guess it kind of was. It was the sort of shock. I mean, usually when somebody has a birthday, people ask, you know, how do you feel? Do you feel older? And I guess for a long time I didn't even think of that or consider it or let it get to me, but as my 30th birthday loomed, I had started to feel better and had a little bit of a better handle on my life by that point, and I thought, you know, it's time to take more action and take some steps here. And like I said, I'd slowly figured out that words were the way I could express myself best, but for a long time in life and in writing, I guess I felt afraid to speak up, to find a voice, to put my words out there for fear of judgment and rejection and criticism. And I felt that a lot about myself in general, out in the world. But through my words, that was another way that I thought, well, I have something to say here, but I'm not sure how it will be perceived, and I'm not sure I'm ready to handle that. Whereas when I felt like I was needing something as my 30th birthday approached, I thought, you know, it's time that I say something. So yeah, I had this thought of a blog for many years. But I just, it seemed like a good way that if I wanted to get my words out there, you know, I could wait. It's like what people are doing with self-publishing these days. You could wait, and you could wait for some publisher or something to discover your words, or you can put them out there in a way that is possible for you. And so I was a little worried about the technological side of it, but I had some help with that at the time. So then I felt if I could get that sorted out, that I could just write and I could put it out there, that I was going to do that. So that was exactly on my 30th birthday, pretty much, that I published my first blog post.
Nice. Well, folks, if you want to participate in this conversation again, I will invite you to call or Skype in. The phone number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. The chat room itself is having a little bit of a attitude day, so if you put something in there, hopefully we'll see it for Blog Talk. If you call or Skype in, please hit the number 1 so I know that you do want to talk and share with us either your own experiences or if you have some questions for Carrie or me. And the other would be over on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page on Facebook. You're welcome to put some comments over there and be a part of this show. So, okay, so now your blog is started. So what do you have in your blog? What do you do? How do you share it? And what do you use for your technology? A bunch of questions thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. I decided at the time that I wasn't sure how this was going to play out, so I would just go with a free WordPress blog at the time, because I wasn't sure, you know, what it was going to be like. Mm-hmm. As I said, I had some help at the time with the technology side to set it up. So I started this blog, and it's actually, the title is based on my email address that I've had for years. I've never been a huge fan of technology. It's one of those love-hate relationships, because it actually has become a huge part of my life. So, you know, my brother, you know, makes fun of me sometimes, like, how can you say you hate technology? You depend on it, use it every day. And I do.
Yep.
I love it, but it causes a lot of headaches. And that's kind of where that came in. I was having actual headaches, and technology was always one giant headache to me. It would often make my actual headaches worse, and that would be why I would shy away from it. But as it's helped me express myself more, I've also walked towards it. So back when I first started using email and things, I decided my email address would have her headache in it, because that's what I felt about all of technology. So then I thought I made a good blog title. Now I think maybe her headache was taken, so I did KK for my first and last name, KK her headache .wordpress.com. So that's the blog, and I launched it on my 30th birthday, and I've kept it up. You know, you hear a lot of stories about people starting blogs and giving them up because they don't know what to write or whatever. I've not had that problem. I wondered if I would, but I think that I had so much to say all these years, and I held it back for so long that now it's all just kind of burst forward like a dam, kind of, you know, dam burst. And so I've been writing at least once a week, always more than that actually, but for the last almost 2 years now. So
you definitely do better than I do, because I started blogs twice, and that's exactly what happens. I'm like, I can't do this on that kind of basis. You know, and coming out of a journalism world for me, you'd think that would be, you know, easy, because I'm used to deadlines and all that. Nope, I don't have the patience for it, because if I don't have an idea when I sit down, I'm not a happy camper and I give it up. So I don't know how you do it. I don't know how people that do it on a regular basis do the blogs, but, I prefer just to, as the ideas come, throw it out there, but I know for a blog too, and to get your followers, you really do need to have a fairly consistent or regularly scheduled release of what you do, right?
I guess, and sometimes I just feel like, you know, there's so much out there nowadays, you know, on websites and in social media and Twitter and articles, that it just feels like, do I want to keep adding to that? Do people want that, or is that just an overload? But that's why I've just sort of kept the blog, I don't know, at first I guess it's just kind of like a journal, but obviously if you're publishing it, you want people to read it, and I needed to do that because I needed to get over my fear. So that was the best way I could think to do that. But a lot of my blog, I guess, you know, you read a lot of articles about tips on having a blog, and I'm still blogging, and I've always blogged about what I want to blog about, and I guess I always thought, well, if nobody wants to read that, you know, that's up to them, but I've got to say what I need to say. So I guess that's why I haven't run out of ideas, because, I mean, first of all, I don't have, you know, like the same kind of busy schedule, a 9-to-5 job and children, you know, I don't have any of those things that might distract me and take my time away from it. So I have time to write, which is first and foremost. But I do look at it as like a portfolio, that I hope that it's giving me practice. It gives me something to work toward and something to aim for and to keep up. But it also, it's building me a writing portfolio of things. And it depends on what's going on in my life at the time, whereas what I write about. So it's a little difficult because some people will say, oh, you need a niche and you need to, you know, zero in on one topic. I don't exactly do that. I have certain things that are my interests. I have a lot of interests, and so I write about a lot of different things. But I hope that keeps me well-rounded, and my voice comes through, I hope.
Okay. And I know some of the topics you've done, obviously, the disabilities, literature, feminism, equality, focused on some of the organ donation, things that you experienced that you've gone through. And then some of the ones that maybe we haven't touched on that people might go, what? You know, this was just when I'm looking through, and even your list, the infertility, the human rights, mental health, all those things that are, in a lot of ways, you know, they are connected to what you've experienced. You know, if we think way back on folks, you know, anybody with any kind of disability, when they were born, if they had any kind of disability, one, they were killed or they were sterilized. Way back when, and you know, and some people still think that that's something that should be happening in the world. It's like, oh, how can people get around, and how come they have to exist, and how come they're taking the tax money, you know? And I hear these things a lot out in the community still, even in, you know, this century, and it surprises me sometimes, you know. So to have people that are kind of experiencing life successfully, essentially, you know, have adapted, have been able to do something other than sit around, or, you know, take on, as somebody says, or government money, whatever, you know, are able to do more with their life. You know, some of these issues still come up, and it's nice to see that people are still touching on them, because they are issues that we have to deal with.
Well, I would like to think that everybody could find something about their passion, something that they do love. But yeah, I mean, I can do a lot of things through mine, which is writing. I consider myself to be a fairly empathetic person. So like you said, when I think of mental health, I can connect to that, because I know, you know, back in the day, people who were mentally ill were sterilized. Back in the day, people with disability were sterilized. Like, I can think about how far we've come and what it used to be like, and I can feel for other people, even if, you know, I myself haven't had a diagnosis of, you know, schizophrenia or it's, you know, serious mental illness. I've had enough experience with the kind of depression that can go along with disability that I can understand. And I've had some experiences in my life with family and friends and people I've loved who have gone through these things. So I just feel like writing is the best way to talk about that. And like you said, even, you know, equality is just very important to me, whether it's women's rights or people with disabilities or, you know, race or whatever. I know what it's like to feel like I don't belong, and I know how isolating that is, and I hope, I have to hope that words can break through that somehow.
Right. And I like to think, too, that everybody has some purpose in this life. Whether it be to share your experiences, whether it be to experience things through a different way. You know, everyone from the person who is, you know, cutting the lawns and shoveling the snow outside to keep it so that we can get through, we can walk on these sidewalks, you know, whether we're sighted or not, up through, you know, the multi-mega dollar CEOs that are out there. I think we all have some purpose and some passion. You know, if we follow our passions, we'll more than likely find the purpose. You know, a lot of times people that go through traumatic times in their life, you know, think there's nothing out there for me. I'm just here. And I like this show to focus a lot on finding some way out of that. You know, and finding, you know, some way to turn your passion into your purpose. So as you went through that, you know, was there anything that you can or that you want to suggest to people of how to find that passion for themselves and turn some of these things around that they may be enjoying also into something more concrete?
Well, like I said, I just, maybe I'm lucky, maybe, you know, if I've always been artistic somehow, one point it was, you know, visually, and now it's through words. I've gotten it easy in a way. Maybe some people struggle ever to find, they just aren't interested in anything. But I can't believe that we don't all have something, you know, whether it's technology or music or, you know, architecture or film or, you know, there's got to be something that we all love, and you can't always sort of translate that to a career, and sometimes you have to focus on other things. But I guess I just think it's good to be aware of other people, and if you are around other people, you can see what they might be passionate about, and you can learn whether that's something that you feel strongly about or not. But I guess, yeah, you just got to get out there and experience the world. I think the best thing to do is just to be aware, in my opinion. I don't think people are aware enough. I think they just sort of, a lot of them go through the motions, and they don't think about how others might be feeling or perceiving the world, or they don't think about the world enough. I think in a way, not having sight does allow you to focus in on these things that other people might get distracted by in life.
Goes along somewhat with, you know, a couple of your favorite quotes that you passed on to me when I asked about that. I don't know if you have them available in front of you, or if you just rather I read them. Can do that.
Well, a little bit memorized. The two I gave you, I pretty much know. But
there you go.
Well, the one is on my blog. It's on my About Me page on my blog, and it's, song lyrics are very important to me. It's a form of writing, and I really admire people who can say so much in so few words and put it to beautiful music. So one of them is from the band The Goo Goo Dolls, and it's that I don't want the world to see me because I don't think that they'll understand. But when everything is made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. That's my kind of feeling about life, and that's what happened before I started my blog and since I started my blog. It's like, on one hand, I'm so afraid to put myself out there in the world and for the world to see me. On the other, I'm desperate not to feel invisible and to feel like I have a voice and that I'm being heard. So that's always been my favorite for many years. So much so that I put it on my About Me page on my blog. I continue to explain myself on that About Me page, but I think that quote could have been the About Me page in itself. And the other one is the famous Helen Keller quote, which a lot of people might know. And you might want to read that one to get the exact wording.
Yeah. And yeah, and I've seen this one several times, and I agree very much with it too. That the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart.
Yeah, and you know, Helen Keller is obviously a role model to many people, but she was an author, and that part of her I specifically connect with. You know, I don't know what it's like to be deaf, just blind, but I've known her story since I was young. My teacher read that the story to me when I was in the second grade, and then she told me there was this movie, this very famous movie about it. So I rushed right out to the library that week, and I got that movie. So ever since, I've read some of her writing, and she wrote very beautiful things. And that's just one of the quotes that I actually have it written on a box in my room. Somebody found for me once.
Cool. And that's one of the things, you know, I'd like to point out about Helen Keller. A lot of people know her as deaf and blind and know the story, the miracle worker. And they forget about her being an author and a speaker and an advocate through all of that. I mean, that's part of, as soon as she and Annie really connected and she found her voice through this new way of communicating, she was out there speaking and saying all that stuff that had bottled up all those years, you know. And that's what I'd like to see for everybody, you know, is finding, like we're talking, that passion, that way of communicating whatever you have to the world, whether it be art, music, words, doesn't matter. Find something to share who you are.
Exactly. Okay. I think, yeah, most people do know her story up until, you know, it makes a good movie, like you say, it makes a good movie up into the scene with the water pump when she spells out words. And then I don't know how many people know anything about her life after that. I mean, unless you're in the disability community. But yeah, right. She advocated and she traveled the world and she did a lot of things that women in general weren't doing back then. And that's what I'm most inspired about. You know, a lot of it I don't understand. I don't know what it would be like to be in a world with no sight and no vision. But I mean, one out of the two, obviously. But I think she did a lot of great things, and a lot of people could have written her off, and she could have just. And I think she represents a lot of people that did just stay locked up or hidden away, and that's what I'd like to see, you know, eradicated.
All right. Cool. So what caught my attention originally when I saw one of your posts on Facebook, and I don't remember which group it was in. It might have been Writers of Nonfiction. It might have been one of the other writing groups. I, you know, connected in a few of them now. And was your adventure on, and I've seen the picture, and I almost would prefer to probably have been unsighted doing that to begin with. But on the rope, I guess it is the rope bridge of essence, right, that you went on? Or
yes.
What do they call them, a hanging bridge?
It's
called
the Carrickreed Rope Bridge in Ireland.
Okay. You know, looking at the picture, I went, yeah, right, you can have that. You know, to have done it because of my reticence to heights, I'm not sure I would have wanted to do it, except that there were two ropes that I could hang on to. But knowing that, you know, you could have stepped off the edge of that thing and been hanging there a while, I don't know that I would have done it without sight. So, you know, more power to you. But I'd love for you to share that a little bit. Again, it's getting beyond those fears and those, you know, what somebody else might say, you can't do that. To show that, again, blind, sighted, whatever, people can do anything they set their mind to.
Well, I know that fear of heights is a big one for many people. And for me, it's more the fear of falling, I guess, if I had to pick a fear out of that scenario. Originally, it hadn't really been planned, that excursion. I had been on a tour bus in Ireland, and we got to this one location on the second or third day of the tour, and he said, yeah, there's this rope bridge, and I guess I hadn't really heard of it. The tour guide said, you know, you're free to do it, or you can stay back, you don't have to. And, you know, in the moment, I kind of was, like, hesitating, you know, what is this thing? And I would have wanted somebody to explain it to me, you know, what exactly is it like? What can I expect? And I didn't really, I guess I could have pressed the tour guide, you know, for more details. But I just, in the moment, I thought, you know, I looked at my friend who I was with, who's sighted, and I said, you know, I'm up for it if you are. And she's a very adventurous person. And she said, yeah, sure. And I just, there are experience times when people will say, no, you can't do that. I mean, like, our tour guide could have saw me and realized I was had a cane and I was blind and said, you know, I don't think you should do that, you know, fearing the tour company could be responsible if something happened. Or, and I actually had an experience a few years later up on the CN Tower that kind of happened that way, that I had to kind of fight a little bit to get the chance to go up there. But this time it was just in the moment, and I thought, you know, I'll try it. And it is a rope bridge, but once I got up there, it didn't take me long to feel comfortable at all because I felt my surroundings. There were two ropes on each side that I held onto, and I was in between my friends, and I was walking on a board, and I put my foot out to each side to feel where the edge was, just to have an idea, which is how I get an idea of what to expect. And, you know, right away my friends were like, oh, watch out, don't. But, you know, I wasn't accidentally doing that. I was doing that on purpose to find where the edge was, and it helped me to find my way. And after that, I did it, and it really was no big deal at all. I don't know how it looked visually in the picture, but, you know, I would have been worried for nothing. And if I had said, no, I don't think so, I can't, I'm too scared, then I would have missed out on that. And it's after finding out that it's quite a, you know, big landmark there in Ireland, and I'm glad I did it. But it led me to want to do more things like walk around the outside of the CN Tower. So I think it was a great experience.
So did you go with a guide then, or did you use your cane or both or your friend to go through that? Or did you just grab the ropes and go, all right, I'm doing this?
I don't remember if I brought my cane up there now because, I mean, it wasn't exactly...
It was kind of tough.
It's not exactly a good place to use a cane because it was
right.
Just a narrow board with rope. I had to hold on with my hands to the rope instead of holding on a cane. So, like I said, I used my feet to feel the edges of the boards, and I used my hands to hold on to the ropes. But no, so I just walked with my friends, and I don't know. I don't think I had my cane at all.
You know, and I think the reality of that, and that's why I brought it up, is that that's how a sighted person goes over something like that. You know, we carefully step one foot in front of the other and, you know, look at a board and go, man, until I'm sure that thing's stable, I'm not stepping on it, and hold on to the edges for dear life. I don't think too many people would have gone across that bridge without holding the rope.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I even let go a little. I don't remember. I just remember thinking, wow, this is no big deal at all. And, I mean, of course, I don't have the same exact thing. I can't look down and see how far I am necessarily. But I know logically I'm up high, and if I fell, you know, there's water and rock, you know, so it's not like I'm totally oblivious to it, but maybe it helps me, gives me a bit of an edge, I'm not sure.
Right. But the reality is you did it the same way a sighted person did. It's kind of where I'm going with that.
Exactly.
So anybody who does this,
it feels good, yeah, to be able to just do things that everyone else are doing, you know, not stay back on the bus because it would be too difficult for me. You know, certain things are more visual, and, you know, other things we did there in Ireland, you know, walking along certain cliff faces and stepping on different rocks down to the water, different things that were made more difficult than that was even.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to just do what everyone else was doing and just feel normal and like a part of everybody else.
Cool. So where do you go from here? What are your plans? What do you want to do? What's the next adventure for Carrie?
Well, I have just been, I haven't just been writing on my blog. I've been finding other blogs and other writers and other magazines that accept guest posts just to get my writing sort of out there further than my own blog, get it read a bit more, and met some great people and some contacts. And with the internet nowadays, it's easier than ever to meet people that you wouldn't necessarily met if before that when they lived somewhere and you lived somewhere else. So I found some different editors and writers and travelers and authors that I really admire. And I guess I'm probably looking for something like that, you know, more people, writers, women, different people I can look up to. But there are certain publications that I have my sights set on that I would love to be published in, some that I don't, that I know for sure I'm not ready for, some that I'm hoping to be ready for. And I just want to build my writing that way. I guess, you know, I have this bucket list of things that I put on my first blog post that I wanted to do. Some were travel related, some weren't. One of them was to see my writing published and hold a book in my hands. And I didn't have a whole book all to myself, but I had a short story published in an anthology, and that just recently came out. So I got that checked off my bucket list, and I have a book now that has my writing in it. So that was a big thing for me.
And what's that book called?
It's called After the Scars, Second Chances Anthology. It's available on Amazon. And in e-format and e-book and in print form.
Okay.
And my story is called One Last Kiss. It's in there. They put out a call last Valentine's Day for stories and poems, and I accepted. And so things like that that I'm just trying to get my words out there. And then, like I said, I've always been interested in travel and combining the two things, writing and travel. So I've had this free WordPress blog, but then last year I had the idea that I wanted to start an actual website, and so I did that with some more help, technology-wise. But I'm still working on that because it's a bit of a different format for me, like you were asking kind of before about how I actually publish these things. But this new website is called The Insightful Wanderer. .com or .ca. It's based on my love for my country of Canada, but it's also got a list of the places around the world that I would love to travel to and write about. And I want to, as wonderful as photographs are, and they play a big important part, you know, even in my own family, that saying that picture's worth 1,000 words, so I can write 1,000 words, no problem. And so I'd like to do that about these places and explain why I love them and what I get out of them, and hope that other people can maybe get some insights and see these places in a different light, maybe a little. So I've got that I'm working on. And, you know, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen here in my 30s. It's a work in progress. It may include going back to school again for writing, for something else. I am still interested in literature in general, so we'll see about that. But
okay. Well, maybe we'll talk about you doing some writing for my Positive News magazine.
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad I did this show today because I'm just trying to say yes to more opportunities that come up in life and not be so shy. And some people say when they meet me, you don't seem that shy to me, but I've always felt quite shy, so I'm always working on that. And you know, it's hard when you can't make eye contact with people out in the world. You can't see them. You miss a lot of visual cues. You know, how much of human interaction is nonverbal, they say. I got to talk and write and speak to people and try and focus on the areas that I can be a part of.
Right. Well, and so you said it's thehappywanderer.ca?
It's theinsightfulwanderer.ca.
The Insightful Wanderer, excuse me?
I might have put the link in the one email, but I don't
know
if you...
I do have that, so I'll grab that up. And then your blog again is?
kkherheadache.wordpress.com.
Okay. And is there any other way that you want people to try to connect with you if they would like to?
I am on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook.com/herheadacheblog or at the Enslaved Wanderer. And Facebook and Twitter is KK, Her Headache. Twitter is The I Wanderer.
Okay. All right.
I made two separate accounts to keep it sort of separate.
Don't blame you. Okay. And then one last time, folks, if you have any questions, please call in 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Hit the one so that I know you are listening or that you want to talk, ask questions, participate, whatever. Okay, is there anything that you wanted to cover and wanted to share that we didn't at this point?
No, I think that's, I appreciate the questions that you asked and that you had me on and gave me a chance to speak in this way. I'm used to just writing things, but I do like public speaking. I don't know if I always do a good job. I think I like on the spot. I prefer writing because you can take your time and think of how you best want to say something. Whereas sometimes when I talk in the moment, I get a little muddled. But I have had some experience public speaking, and I would like to do more of that, whether it be about equality or travel or whatever, something in the future like that.
Okay. Cool. Well, I do like to send folks off with an affirmation, and I am something positive to into the world. You're welcome to toss one at us, or I can just pull it out of some of what you've been saying today. That's up to you.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to erase these contact things right next. I didn't finish it. So we'll do affirmation as I type into the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Let's see. I accept, I'm trying to think of playing off your title, off the title that just kind of popped into my head as I was reading some of your stuff. The Traveling with the Speed of Sight was, it's doing what? It was an interesting play on words that I had not even anticipated.
Yeah, I get a lot of those when I do guest posts, and sometimes I come up with my own title. Other times I've had people come up with titles for me, and you get some interesting results, so.
Yeah, it was just kind of, like you said, it was just one of those spirit. I went, okay, I'm not sure what that means. So you know what? I'm going to go with it. And that's what, I do that a lot with the titles anyway. I got it. I can't see the results or not. I don't see in the moment or not. Okay, I had to type this time. Sometimes I type as I do it. Okay. I accept the speed of life, whether I can see the results in the moment or not. There we go. I accept the speed of life, whether I can see the results in the moment or not, is the affirmation that I'm going to send everybody off with for this week.
Very good.
So, all right. Well, I appreciate your time today and your being on the show. Can put you back on mute for the moment and wrap this up, and or you can stay and listen or whatever, because I don't see anybody raising hands to chat or participate or ask any questions, and that's fine. Nobody has to. We tend to get things, again, if people want to comment in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group sometime over there, there is a post pinned to the top of the page for that. And, you know, if you ask questions, I'll make sure that Carrie gets to them or they, you know, tag her or whatever you want to do on that. And we'll make sure that we get that out. So cool. Thank you again, Carrie. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. That was Carrie Kajewski, and she is up in the Canadian area, and Ontario. And so it's kind of different to meet some folks from different areas of the world when I do this. Talking about traveling with the speed of sight, we called it this week, and talking about the journey of, you know, being born without a lot of eyesight and it getting worse and progressively through her life, as well as going through some other illnesses, kidney transplants, back surgery, many other things that might have knocked people down in their lives if they had to experience that. And some of what she said is it kind of did, because she wasn't able to finish high school in the traditional timeline, traditional time frame that most people would have thought. Instead, is now going back and finishing her education and planning her future. But 20 years after the kidney surgery, you know, she gets into her 30s now and starting to find out what she wants to do and what her purpose really is. And also being able to explain and write about some of those experiences of going through those illnesses and those losses through writing of a blog and being a published author in an anthology and traveling and doing all those wonderful things. And you know what? With or without sight, doesn't matter. And that's why I wanted to do some of this Meet the Blind during Meet the Blind Month and the Disability Awareness Week, or Disability Awareness Month, excuse me. Because, folks, again, no matter what you're going through, you know, there are other people going through other things, and nobody can walk in somebody else's shoes and understand it. Even my journey with the eyesight loss, getting some of that vision back and having the loss in a different way than I did years ago, I can't imagine what other people are going through. That's why I like them sharing their story. You know, all the people that I associate with in the National Federation of Blind that created this Meet the Blind Month, you know, I've gotten different experiences and different stories. And I love hearing how people just live. It doesn't matter. And I think as we go through life, if we encounter someone who has something that we perceive to be a disability, a disadvantage, the biggest thing, and I think one of the things Carrie said, was just ask the questions. Don't be afraid to insult someone because you're curious to find out how maybe you can help them, what happened. Most people are willing to answer those questions if they're asked in a polite way. Because we'd rather you ask than get your perception out of whack. Oh, they can't do that because they can't see. Or they can't do that because they're in a wheelchair. And one of the things I'm learning in one of my classes is to really focus on, you know, person language first, that everyone is a person. Everyone's an individual. That disability, that thing that you see or don't see, is just a characteristic. So don't assume with what you witness that someone can't do something or that they can. Again, just ask. It's kind of just that simple. Because if we do, that's how we learn. That's how we learn, and not necessarily how we learn for the next person we may encounter, but it'll give you a different perspective on life. You know, and some of what we talked about last week, too, folks with canes and service animals. I did not touch on service animals, and I wanted to do that a little bit. If you want to come back on, Carrie, hit one. If not, I'll touch on this. That basically, you know, service animals have different definitions than what they used to. It's not just the German Shepherd out there and their labs. You know, there are a lot of different types of service animals right now. There are some people that have cats or that have a variety of other things that we're finding out, that different types of animals can help with different types of disabilities. But if you are around someone who has a dog or a cat that has the harness or the cloak on it and it says service animal, please, please, please do not reach for that animal. Do not pet the animal. Do not distract it from what it's supposed to do. Because, you know, it's like anybody else working, any human being working. If you do, it's a distraction, and that means that could be missed. There could be a dog out there that's supposed to be paying attention to a curb and might miss it because they're distracted by a person who's reaching out to them, and instead they're going to think that they need to be defending the person that they're with. And maybe they will miss the curb, or the person then will miss the curb. So please, 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 you know, pay attention to the role of service animals. You know, if they're lying down and, you know, the person's not holding a harness, or, you know, in some place, some people do allow their animals to be petted. Do not ever feed them anything, because a lot of times they may be on special diets or certain things. Don't ever feed them anything. Unless it's handed to you by the owner that says, go ahead and give it to them. But, and these animals do get their time to play. They're not just constantly working. They do go home and come off harness and play and get to be a pet too. So don't necessarily be, oh, they're working all the time and feeling sorry for them. They all go through very special training from puppy time on. And that is what their purpose is. That's a lot of times it's what they want to do. And some of the animals, when they come off harness, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to be, you know, just a dog that will run in the yard. But most of them do. So we didn't touch on that last week. I did more of talking about canes and the color of canes and what is capable and what, you know, how to pay attention to those. So I think pretty much, folks, I don't have anything else to share about this. I don't have a specific guest for next week. If you would like to be the guest on our show or know of someone else who is living their purpose, who you'd like to share, have them share with others, I'd love to have them be a part of the show. You can do that by getting a hold of me through the website, PurposeTalkRadio.com, or specifically through the email, Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can find me on Facebook through the number of things, Cindy Freeman, True Visions Media, Cindy Freeman, writer, editor, proofreader, and what's the other one? True Trinity. The song that you heard to open the show is by the group True Trinity. That was the vocalist of Jillian Clark. The three of us co-wrote that, being Jillian Clark, Rachel Grace, and myself. And that song was used for the theme song and picked for the theme song long before I came into the picture of being a part of Purpose Talk Radio. But yet, you know, as time went on, I found that I've gone from the writer to the radio person, and I'm loving this every week. So we do air again Fridays, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. in the UK, at least for a couple more weeks, 8 p.m., and then it'll switch where the UK time will be a little bit different. If you have a product or service that you'd like to share with folks about living their purpose, I would invite you to send me an email and we can share that as well. I think having said all of that, I'm going to give you two songs today. I am, again, going to play the positive news song because, you know, I love that. I love that we live in a world of positivity, and at least that's the part that I really try to share with the world. Even though we are no longer in Positive News Month, I am very much a proponent that we do need to share positive news. We've got a lot of stuff happening out in the world right now, again, fighting a lot of weather-related stuff where people are pitching in and helping each other, you know, floods, the things that are going out in California, the fires that are in the various areas, and there are people helping each other, and it is absolutely amazing to be a part of that and seeing that goodness in the world among some of the trauma, drama, things that are going on. And then I will close again with the song, I Am Who I Am. So I wish you all, until next week, I wish you all soul blessings.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives. feel the change is coming. We'll be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. I feel a change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.